I invite you to turn in your Bibles today to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, and if you don't have a Bible with you, you'll find the text that the teaching will be based off of printed for you on the top of page 7 in your bulletin. You can follow along from there. And if you're just visiting with us, welcome. Once again, we're thrilled that you're here. And we're here not to celebrate our faithfulness, but as we just sang, to celebrate God's faithfulness in our lives and through the gospel. And we are in the third week of a new teaching series through this joyful letter of Philippians. And just on this Mother's Day, providentially, we have come in these next few verses to the subject of love. And it was interesting, this past week, I just happened to come across this video that National Geographic put out. And it was a video of this mother bear in a fight with this enormous tiger defending her cub. And this wasn't a little, like, 5-second scrape up. This was all out fight between this mama bear protecting her young against this tiger. And you probably guess who won that fight. The tiger went away defeated. Because we all know a mother's love isn't just tender, it's fierce. It's not just patient, it's protective. And the reason I share that is because what we're going to see is that the best of a mother's love is really a picture of Christian love. There's a lot of overlap between a mother's love and Christian love. And what I want us to see from this text this morning is that a Christian's love is meant to be that fierce, tender, patient, but tiger-fighting love in our lives and for others. And so I'm going to read this. It's Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Sends the reading of God's word. All right, so what do we have here? What did I just read? We just read a prayer. We just read what Paul is praying for, what he is thinking about, what he's wanting to see in this Philippian church. But really, what we just read, just these three verses, is a masterclass on Christian love. In three verses, Paul is giving us a masterclass in what Christian love really looks like and why it's so important. And what he's praying for here is really the love that your heart needs. It's the love that my heart needs. It's the love that all of us need. Probably familiar with the song, What the World Needs Now is Love. You know it. Love, sweet love. But what is a mother's love? What is Christian love? It's not just sweet love. It's fierce love. It's tiger fighting love. It's protective love. It's not just a love that's going to comfort you. It's a love that's going to confront you. What's the other one? All you need is love. Love is all you need. But what type of love are we talking about? It's a love that gets defined by who? You see, what we just read is a love that's defined for us. It's a love that's described for us. So we don't have to wonder what type of love is going on here. And what I want to show you is that this love that was just described in these three verses is the love that all of us need. And in three verses, as I said, this is a little masterclass that Paul gives to us on Christian love. There's a handful of things that we can draw out from this, from these three verses. We can see the nature of Christian love, the growth of Christian love, the result, the source, and the ultimate goal of Christian love. The nature, the growth, the result, the source, and the goal. It's Mother's Day, so you get 5 points today, all right? You get two bonus, all right? Let's go. First, the nature. Let's start by defining our terms. What is this love that Paul recognizes that the Philippian church has that he wants for them to grow more and more? What is this agape love? Well, you can think of defining this love like your ABCs. So love A is like this. If you scratch my back, well, then I'll scratch yours. So it's reactive love. I'll give to you because, well, you first gave to me. That's love A, okay? Love B is, well, I'll scratch your back, expecting that you're going to get me back, expecting that you're going to scratch my back in return. You could call that reciprocal love. It's not reactive love. It's reciprocal love. It's the whole idea of reciprocity, okay? Then there's love C. And love C is, I'll scratch your back without expecting anything back. I'll give to you without expecting anything back in return. It's selfless, sacrificial love. But then there's love D. All right, so what's love A? Love A is, if you scratch my back, well, I'll get you back. Okay, it's reactive love. Love B is, well, I'll scratch your back expecting that you're going to get me back. Love C is, I'm going to scratch your back without expecting anything back. But then there's love D. And love D, my friends, is I will scratch your back even when you stab me in the back. It's not just selfless, sacrificial love. It is supernatural enemy love. That is Christian love. Christian love is distinctly love C and love D. And if you don't take my word for it, listen to Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 6. Listen to how he describes love. This is Luke 6, 32 through 36. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? You see, what is that? Love A. Right? Well, I'm going to do good to you just because you've already done good to me. And then he says this. He goes on. He says, and if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive back, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. What's that? That's love B. But love your enemies and do good to them. Love D. And lend, give, expecting nothing in return. Love C. And he says, and your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High, for he is kind and merciful to the ungrateful and the evil. That is Christian love. Christian love is distinctly love C and love D. It's not some weak, flabby sentimentality. It is a sacrificial, selfless, supernatural enemy love. It's not just caring for the people that I happen to like or caring for the people who have been, you know, caring towards me. It's caring for the people you can't stand. It's praying for the people who get on your very last nerve. It's fighting for the people who've been fighting against you. You see, it's not just a tiger fighting love for the sake of your cub. It's a tiger fighting love for the sake of your enemy. And the reasons, you see, the reason that Paul can say, I want this love C and love D, to be growing in your life is because he knows as Christians, we've already been on the receiving end of love C and love D. Because this, my friends, is the love of God in the gospel. And if you're a Christian this morning, this is the love that you've received. And now his point here, though, is that if you've received this love, then you can give this love. You can grow in this love. I've heard it put like this. Christian love is like doing love philanthropy. If someone is giving, let's say, to the Boys and Girls Club, let's say, you know, a generous gift of, let's say, $50,000, they're not giving to the Boys and Girls Club in order to get something from the Boys and Girls, in order to get something back from them. They're not giving in order to get. They're giving out of the abundance of what they already have. And friends, as a Christian, when we meditate upon what God has done for us in Jesus, when we meditate and think about his love and see and love D in our lives, we can then give that away to others because we already have it. But you can't give away what you don't already have. You have to first receive this love C and love D from God, and then you're in a position to give it and then for it to grow in your life. All right, so what does it look like? Second, let's look at the growth. What does love C and love D look like when it's growing in your life? Well, you notice, look at verse 9. In verse 9, there's a twofold description of this growth of Christian love. And then in verse 10, he gives you the result when that's growing. And the first description here is when this is growing, it's abounding. And let me just give you an example of how encouraging this is. So I was just yesterday, I was talking with Matt and his boys about how when I was going through high school, I had one of the most disappointing experiences growing up. It was when I realized I had officially stopped growing. And I don't know if you had this in your house, but we had this little beam that I had all my markings of height on, and I wanted to be a professional basketball player. That was my dream. And so, you know, I'm diligently watching this beam, you know, and all the marks going up. And then freshman year, I was 5'11". Sophomore year, I was 5'11". Junior year, I'm 5'11". And then senior year, I'm like, that's it. I'm 5'11", and I am not going pro. Like the chances of a 5'11 boy from New Hampshire going pro are very, very slim. And it was in that moment where I'm like, okay, that's it. It's 5'11 and no more. What is Paul showing us here? That's not the way in the Christian life. It's not 5'11 love and no more. Here's the love that's been pouring out in your life and that's it. No, what he is saying here is, friend, there are possibilities. There are heights, there are depths of love that can flow out of your life, no matter what age you are, no matter how long you've been a Christian, that can flow out of your life that you can't even imagine yet. It's abounding. What does he say? That your love, this love C and love D, this radical love that comes from God, this can abound. This can break through any expectation that you might have. That's what the word means. The word abound here, it means to exceed your expectations, to exceed the limits, to break the marks. Or you could say to spill over. Now, there's a person in our house, remain nameless, who whenever they are given a can of some carbonated beverage, whether it's a soda or a sparkling water, for whatever reason, they just love to see what happens if you just shake up this can. And then open it up, and it doesn't matter, you know, how many times, you know, we know what's going to happen. They get the can and they shake it up, and let's see what happens again. And then they pop it open, and what happens? It goes everywhere, right? It spills over everything. That's the type of love that Paul is talking about here. It's a love that gets everywhere. It's not just a love for the people that we like in church. Is that just for the people that are comfortable love? It's just this love that spills everywhere. It's getting everywhere. It's getting on everyone. That's the idea. It's breaking the barriers. It's exceeding your expectations. It's not just going 1 mile. It's going 2 miles. It's getting everywhere. You've probably heard the expression, well, that's good, but don't overdo it. That's not Christian love. Christian love is overdoing it. Christian love, it's surprising people with the love of God, where it makes them scratch their heads and think, why would you do that? But here's the thing. We see here this growth is not just abounding love. It's also what? Discerning love. Did you catch this? It's abounding more and more, right? It's getting on everyone. It's spilling out. It's exceeding expectations. But then he says it's also growing in knowledge and discernment. So it's not just abounding, it's discerning love. And I've got to share this. So several years ago, I was sitting with a ministry leader. This was at like some Christian conference, and I didn't know the guy, but we just happened to be in the same kind of room together, and we were just all talking about different things about, you know, church life. And he said, you know, he was just kind of sharing this with the group. He's like, what we decided, we really wanted to love our city. So what we decided to do was we wanted our city to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. So we went to Costco and we bought over 1,000 gallons worth of olive oil. And he said, we took all this olive oil and then we rented a helicopter. And we rented the helicopter and we got this guy to fly us all throughout the borders of our city. And we dumped that oil over the whole city and we anointed that place with the Holy Spirit. Your reaction was my reaction. I was like, are you kidding? You spent the church's money on 1,000 or so gallons of olive oil and a helicopter ride? It was abounding love. It was not discerning love. Friend, Christian love is not crazy, stupid love. Christian love is not stupid love. It's not blind love. It is a love that comes with discernment. It's a love that has a moral backbone, you might say. It's a love that recognizes that there is such a thing as right and wrong. There's such a thing as wise and foolish. So what we see here is that Christian love, yes, it's meant to be abounding, but when it's abounding, you're growing in your knowledge of what pleases God, what is truly beautiful, what people truly need, what is truly good for people. And you begin to make moral distinctions. You see, discernment and love go hand in hand when it comes to Christian love. We might think of it like this. In Paul's day, he would have understood this way of warfare, where you would have the warrior and you'd have a charioteer. So you'd have this soldier that would be standing in the chariot, and they would have, let's say, you know, they'd be throwing spears or they would be shooting arrows. So you get the warrior and you've got the charioteer. And the charioteer is the person who would be driving it and knowing, you know, what speed to go, what direction to go. So you had both of them working simultaneously, right? You got the warrior with the fighting power, and then you got the charioteer with the knowledge and discernment of where to steer that chariot. It's the same thing with Christian love. When your love is growing, your love C and love D is growing, it's going to exceed expectations, but it's going to have discernment with it. There's going to be a quality of distinguishing right from wrong. And friend, can we just be honest? Isn't that what the church needs more and more of today? Isn't that what our culture needs to see from the church? It's both, not just abounding love, but discerning love. Not just discerning love with maybe a harsh critical undertone to it, but abounding love. Paul says that is unique Christian love. So when that happens, what's the result? What's the result when this is happening in our lives and we get abounding love and discerning love? Well, you see in verse 10, you see the result is that we begin to approve what is excellent. That's the first result of this. Now, don't hear this word approve what's excellent as sort of this very stale, stoic, you know, like, oh, yes, I approve. You know, just this really like, you know, uptight, like, oh, okay, yes, I approve that as well. No, the word here is you're delighting in what's excellent. When you're growing in Christian love, you begin to appreciate and delight in what's truly beautiful, what's truly good for people. See, so the word here, it's more like a judge at a slam dunk competition, right? When they hold up, the 9 or the 10, they're saying, yeah, that was a dunk. That's Christian love. When we're growing in this, we're saying, yes, that is beautiful. That is the way to live. That is the will of God. Or it's like someone who's a food critic who really loves food. They're like, that is how you cook a pork chop. That is how you cook a steak. It's approving it in the sense of delighting. And friend, when you're growing in Christian love, you start delighting in what God delights in. You start seeing the will of God, and you're holding up a 10. And you're saying, yes, that is good. That is honoring. That is beautiful. And then we see another result here. He says that you might become pure and blameless in view of the day of Christ Jesus. Now, as I was reading this, you know, as someone who was really burdened by the law for most of my life and always trying to measure up and you know, quickly realizing that I couldn't, it came to these two words, pure and blameless, and I thought, what is going on here? Well, here's what's interesting. These words, pure and blameless, are not the pure and blameless that you tend to think. This is a different, actually, word for purity that he's talking about here. It's elekinos. And it's different than the word for pure that you actually find in chapter 4. Same book, which is hagnos, which is sort of the purity of innocence. You know what's going on here? It's genuineness. I'll put it this way. In Paul's day, they had, Philippi was a Roman colony, and they had all kinds of monuments, all kinds of sculptures. And because there was so much work being done, what sculptors would do, they had scammers back in their day as well. What a lot of the sculptors would do is as they were working on a piece of marble, working on a sculpture, and it accidentally chipped, what they would do instead of starting over, which would have been very costly, they would take some wax, a cement-like wax, and they would paste over the portion that was chipped, and then they'd paint over it. And they would present it as a full marble sculpture. But something would happen. When that sculpture was in the heat of the day, the sun would bear down upon it, and the wax would begin to melt. And they came up with a term, sine sere. When you got a sculpture that was without wax, it was sine sere. It was sincere. We get our word sincere from that very thing. It's without wax. It's without fakery. In other words, it's the real thing. And this word for blameless here, it's interesting. It means to cause someone else to stumble. And what Paul is saying here is that when you're growing in Christian love, when it's abounding love and discerning love, when it's the real thing, it doesn't put a stumbling block in the way of non-Christians thinking, oh, this is what Christian love is. No, when they see the real thing, they're led in the truth. Now, when is that going to be revealed? See what he's saying here, the day of Christ Jesus? There's going to be a day when the church's love is going to be revealed. And let our love be, it's not going to be perfect, but let it be both abounding and discerning love. All right, so here's the million-dollar question. How in the world do you get this type of love? How do you grow in this type of love? Well, fourth, verse 11, we get the source. And friends, this is where the gospel really comes in. Oh, I love this. Paul doesn't say, all right, here it is. Here's how this is going to grow in your life. Try harder. He doesn't say, filled with the fruit of this righteousness, this abounding and discerning love, by trying harder this week. Now, what does he say? This is going to be filled in your life through Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, all right, now come on. Come on, church, get with it. Get your act together a little bit better this week. No. I think he's actually drawing upon, you remember Jesus' illustration in John 15 of the vine and the branches? What does Jesus say? I am the vine, you are the branches, and apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
See, what's the branch's job? The branch's job is one thing, abide in the vine. The branch's job isn't to produce fruit. It's to bear fruit. The fruit that the vine produces through it. What's our job? Abide in the vine. Abide in the love C and the love D that has been given to us in Jesus. You see, what is a Christian? Friend, a Christian is someone who understands that the very God of this universe, the God that created them, that they were revolting against and shaking their fists at. Oh, you're not going to tell me what to do. Oh, no. I'm going to run my own life. That God came into this earth in the person of Jesus on a rescue mission of love. And he went through hell on the cross to bring you back to himself, to bring you home. See, what is the cross, my friend? It is love D at its finest. And it's love C and love D for you. And the more we meditate upon that, the more we abide in that and rest in that and receive that, what's our job? Just to abide in his love. And then what happens? We begin to start bearing a love C and a love D that we couldn't produce on our own. This past week, I was trying to get Hannah's keyboard to work, and I could not get this thing to work for the life of me. I mean, I'm turning the power button on and off, and I am nothing at all is coming out of this thing. Now, you probably already guessed what was wrong. It wasn't plugged in. You've been there. It's just so frustrating. You're just like... Apart from plugging in, it could do nothing. The Bible tells us over and over, keep yourselves in the love of God. Meditate upon it. Rest in it. Abide in it. For apart from him and his love for you, you can do nothing. It's his love working through the branch, you see, and we just bear it. And when we do, people begin to see something is different with you. They begin to recognize that there's a newness, there's a love that wasn't achieved on our own. And that brings us to the goal. It glorifies God. Why do we want to grow in this love C and love D in our community? Why do we want to be marked by this type of love? Not so that people in Portsmouth in this area will say great things about us, but so that they would say great things and see great things about God working in and through us. I don't know about you, but as this church grows, I don't want people to say, you know what, I found Gospel City Fellowship, I started to go there, and I stayed because of the preaching, or the great music, or the great refreshments, or the great facility. I want them to say, we stayed because of God's love, of Christ's love that we encountered here, that God may get the glory, the goal of all our love. And I'll just close with this. It's around actually this time of year is that you think that the weather is great. You think that the weather is warm enough, and so you start making the hike, but as you get to the top of the mountain, weather can change on a dime. Storm can come in, the temperatures drop, and what will happen a lot of times is people aren't prepared for it. And so they get there and they actually develop hypothermia. And what happens in hypothermia is your body is shaking. It's violently shaking, and what's it trying to do? It's trying to warm itself up, but it can't do it. And there's a metaphor there, friends. We can't warm ourselves up enough. We need an external heating resource. When the temperature of life drops, when life is really hard, and when you have failed in this area yet again, and when all hell is breaking loose and you're going through it, you can't warm yourself up on your own. You need the external heating resource of the gospel, of the one who went through hell on the cross to spare you, to bring you to heaven, to bear your sins, to bring you to God. A love from another world, love C and love D. We all need that love of the gospel that will warm us up and that will produce a love in us that we can't produce on our own. What's our job? Abide in his love. And we can expect great things to happen because his spirit of love is working in us. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. We thank you for your word of love. We thank you, Lord, for this reminder that Paul is praying this prayer because it's not something that we can produce on our own. Hence the prayer. This is something that your spirit of love does in and through us more and more. It's not going to be perfect, but Lord, there is potential for incredible growth when we abide in your love, when we abide in the gospel, when we remember that the love that all of our hearts are looking for, that sacrificial tiger-fighting love, it's actually your love that you have displayed for us at the cross. You went through the very jaws of death to spare us from it, to forgive us, to bring us back to our senses, to bring us back to you. And Lord, I pray that we would be a church that abides in the vine each and every Sunday when we get together and throughout the week, Lord, that we would receive your love and we would generously and with discernment give it away. As we pray in Christ's name, amen.